que as RNs mais a memória já tudo isso apelo as RNs as Daniel Shane mas o show fala. Okay, this week's parsha is Parshas Chukas, so we'll speak a little about Parshas Chukas, and then we can, if we're having Bashir on Friday, it would be remiss not to speak about the special significance about Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas. So we'll speak about that too. So we have to speak about the significance of Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas, special significance, and we're going to speak about a little bit about Parshas Chukas. So one of the shilas, you know, it's interesting, you know, we get shilas and what the shilas, you know, certain shilas are very recurring shilas that I get. So one of the shilas I always get is from pregnant ladies. That's how I find out that you found out they tell me they're pregnant for two reasons. Either if it was a fast day is coming up and they want to know if they could, they have to fast or not. Right? That's one way that they always tell me they're pregnant. Or the second thing is if they want to go to a cemetery. If they want to go to a cemetery, and they always ask, so am I allowed to go? I'm pregnant. Can I go to a cemetery? So those two things come up. So what's the response? Could they go to a cemetery or not? So this week's Parsha, we have the halacha of Tumas Hames, right? Para Aduma, Tumas Hames. And so there are different ways of becoming in contact with a mace. If you touch a mace, that's maga. Masa means you pick it up, even if you don't touch it. Say the mace is on a stretcher, and a person picks up the stretcher, even though they're not touching the mace. That's also matame. And the third thing is called oil hamace. If a person is in the same oil, the same overhang, either that you're in the same room or you're hovering over the mace or the mace is hovering over you, you're in the same ohel. So maga, touching, masa, carrying, even without touching, and ohel. Those are the three things that are get the tumas mace in contact. So the question is, if a woman is pregnant, now the discussion of the poskim obviously is the husband's a kohen. The husband's a kohen, and the woman is pregnant, so could she, and then there's a levi for her to attend during her pregnancy. You know, so there's a levi to attend over her pregnancy. Is she allowed to attend the levi or not? She'll be in the same room with the dead body, or she'll go to the burial, etc. So what is the halachic status of that? So the Magen Avraham in Shin Mem Gimel, you want to come in? You can go. The Magen Avraham in Shin Mem Gimel, in Or HaChaim Shin Mem Gimel, Simon Shin Mem Gimel, Sif Cotton Bays, quotes from the Sefer Rokeach. The Sefer Rokeach says, the Eishes Kohen Muberes, Mutaris Likones Ba'ol Hames. That if a woman is pregnant and her husband is a Kohen, so she's allowed to go to a funeral. She can go into the Ol Hames. Why? So he says, because it's a Sfek Sfeka. It's a double suffix. Because maybe it's a girl, right? If it's a girl, you know, so then it's not a problem. And even if it's a boy, but maybe it's a nepho. We don't know that it's going to be a viable pregnancy. So that's a sfeik sfeika, double suffix. So whenever you have a sfeik sfeika, by a din daraisa, it's mutter. Sfeik sfeika by daraisa, is mutter. I mean, fake is a very complicated halacha of when you're allowed to have what the rules are. The Siman Kuf Yud in Yoredeya is all about the klolis fake sveika. It's very very complex. They're famous fake sveikas like a lot of different things. But this is what the Rokeach says, that if a woman is pregnant, she can go to the she can go to the cemetery even though her husband's a kohen. So the Magen Avraham quotes a kasha. He says, "What do you need this reason for? That it's a sveik sveika? I'll give you a better reason. A better reason. What's the better reason? Better reason is you have a concept of balua, tuma balua. The tuma balua, eina metama. In other words, we have a concept in halacha called balua. If something is totally enveloped, if something is totally enveloped inside, then it's not going to be mekabel tumah. Because even though you go into the same mace, the same room as a dead body, that's your whole body is going to become tameh. But something enveloped in your body, like a fetus that's in the womb, is totally enveloped as balua. And it's if it's balua, it's exempt from tumah, and it's not going to be mekabel tumah. So he said. So the Magen Avraham says, I have an easier solution. I have an easier solution, and that is that you don't need the reason of sfeik sveika, because someone once said to me, I think I was giving the shiur in the Gymnasium, and one of the Gymnasians said this to me. He said, today we have sonograms. We have sonograms, and you could tell, my wife is always, she never wanted to know before the gender. That was her shita. I could go either way, but she never wanted to know because she was always afraid that they were going to make a mistake, and then she was going to always get psyched up for a certain gender, and it's going to be a different, and then that'll throw her off. So she never wanted to know the gender. But today it's very common. People know in the secular world for sure. They all find out the gender. They all find out the gender. To me, when it's a boy, it's always a good thing. But then you have to get your act together. You have to call the moel and set up the Shalom Zohar. And our first son, Leonhara, he was born on Friday morning. So Friday morning, then you have to have the Shalom Zohar ready that night, and it was Sukkos. He was born in Chol Hamoed Sukkos, our first son. So we live in Lower East, we were in the Lower East Side. So Lower East Side, you have the communal Sukkos. So it was good. We had the Shalom Zohar and the Sukkah, and that was very geschmack to have the Shalom Zohar in the Sukkah. But that so that's the so he's saying so anything is balua is not mekabel tumah. It's not mekabel tumah. So mamela what? You don't need so therefore, like someone pointed out to me, the sfeik sveika won't always apply if you have a situation where you found out the gender. And it's pretty accurate, even though I told you my wife is always afraid that they're gonna make a mistake. But they usually—I'm sure there have been mistakes, but usually they don't. They're not mistaken. Usually it's. I haven't heard a case of that they gave the wrong information. Anything can happen. That's not But so then, if like someone said to me, if they checked, they found the gender, you don't have the sfeik sveika anymore, right? Then it would be usur. But if you hold from this reason, the reason of balua, as like this person pointed out to me, so then even if you know vadai it's a boy, you'd still be would be able to go to the you'd still be able to attend the funeral because it's balua. The Nesiv Chaim here says that maybe the answer is reason why he had to say Sveik Sveika, the Rokeach and not Balua, is because maybe it's talking about a case that it's the very end of the pregnancy. But Isha Shakrov Karvia Melalez Rotsa Leilech Sham. So she's afraid, so we're afraid that maybe in the at the beginning, you know, she's gonna give on the spot there, and maybe it'll start coming out. So even though you could have a heter of balua, but then it could become unbalua. It could become unbalua. You know, you never know when a person could give birth. I'll tell you a great story. This is a true story. It happened to one of my Talmidim. One of my Talmidim said, you know, his wife is expecting to give birth. And they're going to, you know, they want to know what's going to be if it's Shabbos. So he says, if it's Shabbos, you know, you call a cab, you call an Uber, and you'll go. And you'll go with your wife. And I said, then he said back to me, and could her mother come too in the cab, in the Uber? I said, no, why should her mother come? You go. You need her mother to come? On Shabbos, you need her mother to come? I don't think you need her mother to come. You come, you go with your wife, and it'll be fine. So lo and behold, and this is the best thing, these people, or the wife, whatever it was, did not listen to me. They did not listen to me. And the mother came. The mother came. They did not listen to me. The mother came. She ended up giving birth in the cab, and the mother delivered the baby in the cab. From then on, I never tell anyone that their mother cannot go with them on the cab. After I made that, I say from then on, anyone who wants to take their mother in the cab, let them take their mother in the cab. Shalom O Yisrael, and who knows? Because you know, this is a story one of them in a million that she's going to give the birth in the cab, and the mother delivered the baby in the cab. But this is the story here. So the halacha is, Rabosai, that if a woman is pregnant, husband's a kohen, the woman's pregnant, she could go to the funeral, either because of the reason of Sveik Sveika, or the reason of Balua. Now, but when people ask this shaila to me, 99% of the people who ask in the shaila, husbands are not kohanim. They're not kohanim, and they're still asking the shaila. So al pi din, l'chora, there's no why not. However, there's more kabbalistic or minhag of even for a Yisrael not to go. There are people like Rav Abadi said, the people have a minhag not to go, and he was very machmir. And the Rav Abadi Shlita is very machmir that even he feels that even people who have who the husband is Yisrael, he feels that they should follow the minhag. Still, you know, an embryo, you don't want to be metame. Maybe it could have negative effects on them. And therefore, and Menachem Yitzchok has a tshuva about this as well. So sometimes I tell people, you know, it depends on the tzorach. If it's like a grandmother's levaya that they really want to go, and they don't really have this minhag. So there could be what's, you know, to rely on that. The whole discussion in the postgame is only when the father, the husband is a kohen. The father is a kohen. It's not. So they have this other idea of based on metaphysical, kabbalistic, you know, tumah and other things, which, you know, you never know what could affect the a baby spiritually. So some people, and Rav Abadi is very strong that he thinks that people should follow that minute, not to go. So I tell people that, you know, it depends on if you have this minute, how strong you feel about it, or what the necessity is for you to go to this, is it just a neighbor, or is it your grandmother? You know, it's different things like that. But it's a very interesting topic. And it stems from this week's parsha of the different of the Tumas Olal, Adam Kiyamos Ba'oil. And there's a Tumas Olal. And in Halacha also we have this idea of, you know, there's a din of chatzitza when going to the mikvah. So if there's a chatzitza on your body that you don't want it there, so then it's a problem. And if it's even inside your mouth, even though the water doesn't get into your mouth, that's called Beis HaStarm. Beis HaStarm means that it's the area that's inside, but not too far inside. So therefore, if that's why we have the minhag, people, women brush their teeth, some women floss, etc. Because there could be something inside the mouth that you feel uncomfortable with, and it's really a chatzitza. But then there's a third level, and that's makom balua. In other words, if it's deep in the woman's body, in other words, we never say, I think the post can talk about, I think, no, the Beauty discusses this. They give this mashal, right? You don't say, tell a woman you have to vomit before you go to the mikveh because there could be food inside your stomach. That's balua. So that doesn't have a din of chatzitza, if it's balloon. And there's some discussion of some contraceptive, birth control apparatuses. Some have to be taken out before the mikveh, and some others. There's a question whether that's called balua if it's further back. So this discussion, this distinction of balua, is not only a distinction in Tumah V'Tahara, it's also a distinction in Hilchas Chatzitza. Okay, so that was the first thing I want to discuss. The second thing I want to discuss is the Magen Avraham. There's a Magen Avraham in Siman Tov Kuf Pei in Hilchos Tainius. Tov Kuf Pei. He says Kosef HaTanya. This is not the Tanya that you know of. It's a different Tanya Rabasi, Rishon. Biyom Hashishi Parshas Chukas. On Friday of Parshas Chukas, that's today, Friday of Parshas Chukas, Nogu Yechidim Lisanos. That there's a minhag to have a tiny. Normally we don't fast on Fridays. You're not supposed to fast on Friday because you're supposed to come into Shabbos. You're not supposed to come into Shabbos Mu'una, hungry. Our one fast that we have on Friday is Asar B'Tavis, right? Where we had it this year, Asar B'Tavis. That's the only one we have. But there is a fast day that it's not generally something that everyone's doing. In fact, I would be questioned how many people still do this fast. But it's a fast on this Friday. It's a funny halacha because usually a fast day is a calendar day, Asar B'Tavis, Tisha B'Av. This is the fast day based on the Friday of Parshas Chukas. Now, the Friday of Parshas Chukas this year, next year, and the year after is going to come out on the different calendar days. And what happened? So my friend Rabbi Tzvi Ereni from the NYU Library, he got it from me off the computer. So I'll give you the exact date. 1244. In the year of 1244. In the time of the Rishonim, Rav Yechiel Miparis, so they convinced Hamash. There was a mumer, Nicholas Donin, that a Talmud of Rav Yechiel Miparis, who went off the derech. Rav Yechiel Miparis was one of the Gedolei Rishonim. I remember years ago when we were learning Masechta Moed Katan with Rav Yitzchak Cohen and Moresh HaKolel. We learned with the parish of Rabbi Yechiel Miparis. So he had a Talmud that went off the derech. He was a mumer, and he told the Pope or whatever that in the Talmud, in the Gemara, there are many things in the Gemara that defame Notzrim, that defame Catholic people, whatever. And that's what he told that to the Pope. And as a result of that, there was a burning of the Gemara. They had wagons and wagons of Talmud. And on that day of 1244, they burnt the Gemaras. Sreifas HaTalmud, Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas, and there were wagons and wagons, and because of this occurrence, They were Makabala Tainus. So why didn't they just do it in the Kalendak day? So it's brought down in the different Svarim, in the Rishonim here, Shibboleth HaLeket, and Ber Yosef has a piece, because, and that's, by the way, Rabbi Willig always says over the Kinos, when we're doing Kinos, the Rambam Rutenberg wrote the Kina of Shali Srufa Be'esh, regarding this particular karetz. And therefore that's so the Targum Okula says Zos Chukas HaTorah Da Gzeiras Oraisa. This is the Gzeira of the Torah, of the Gzeira of, some want to say Gzeira just Gzeira decree, or some want to say that Gzeira means the Gzeira means Ligzor, to rip, you know, to destroy. So since it's Merumas in the Pasuk, Dog Zeras Araisa, if you look into Targum Onkelos, this is the Gzeira, either the decree of the Torah should be, or Gzeira, the rip of the Torah. So since the Remez is in Parshas Chukas and happened on Friday, Parshas Chukas, so we always, the Tainus is always put together with Parshas Chukas, because it happened on the Friday of Parshas Chukas. So even though normally we would just say, look at the calendaric date, and within some years it'll be Chukas, some years it'll be Balak, some years it'll be whatever, depending upon the, but it be the minute became, as the Svarim write, to have this Tainus on Erev Shabbos Chukas. Now, I don't know, to tell you the truth, I don't know too many people who fast this Tainus, but still, it's it's brought down as in this piece here, it's this piece of Tzvi Ereni got me from the computer from Dr. Ephraim Yitzchaki. He said that some Rabbanim said that the reason why the Gzeira of the Sreifa Satalmud was is a punishment that there was a burning of the Sifrei HaRambam. That the Rambam in his time had some controversial, people didn't like the philosophy and the Moreh Nevuchim and things, so they burnt the Svarim of the Rambam. So it's brought down here in this piece from Ephraim Yitzchaki, and that's how that this burning was sort of like a punishment of that previous burning of the Sifrei HaRambam. So this owner shall straight Ephraim Yitzchaki says, the owner shall, I quote, owner shall strafe as kisvi haramba. So that's a fascinating idea of, you know, of what this is. And I think the Musar Haskel has to be, you know, Kovod HaTorah, Kovod HaSvarim, you know, it's a very important. And in this week's parsha, we have the famous Chazal. Ain't Zos Adam Kiyomus Ba'ol Ein Divrei Torah Miskaimim Elamisha Memis Asma Aleha. That Torah has to be something that we respect the Torah so much that we put our koches into the Torah. Memis Asma Aleha. Shanema Adam Kiyomus Ba'ol Ein Divrei Torah Miskaimim Elamisha Memis Asma Aleha. And that's the ikar of Torah is the amelus HaTorah. It's not just, Rav Soloveitchik would always say the Chumash is called Mikra. Because if you just read Chumash and you don't understand it, obviously it's better to understand. But if you just read it, the Kriya itself is a mitzvah. Just reading the Psukim, that's why the Torah is called Mikra. But, and this is based on a Magen Avraham and Shulchan Aruch Harav, but branch people close from Rav Soloveitchik, that's why it's called Mikra, because the Kriya itself has a value. But if you open up a Mishnah or a Gemara, you just read, and you don't know what you're talking about, you get nothing, zero. It's not a mitzvah, because Torah Shebaal Peh is all about Havana, is all about understanding. That's the Lashon Mishnah, Mishinantam, is learning, understanding. If there's no understanding to the Torah Shebaal, no understanding to the Torah Shebaal Peh, then we don't get a mitzvah for the Torah Shebaal Peh, because Torah Shebaal Peh is all about Havana, And Kovet HaTorah, and that's something that's very important, is the Kovet of a Sefer Torah. You know, in other words, even if we're not going to fast today, which most of us are not, myself included, are not fasting today, but probably we should have a chizuk in Kovet HaTorah, Kovet Sefer Torah. You know, when the Sefer Torah is brought out, there's a chiv to stand. A lot of times, especially now in the summer months when people go away, sometimes people say, oh, we'll take a Torah with us. Maybe you'll take a Torah with you. Who gives you the right to take a Torah? In other words, it's not a simple matter to remove a Torah and bring it from one place to the other. You know, we do it in the Beis Avel. So either there, like Rabbi David Will pointed out, we make a Mokum Kavua, or some have the minute to read Torah at least three times. So it's not we just take the Torah. We, in other words, the human being has to come to the Torah, not the Torah comes to you know. There's a discussion about Shulchan Aruch, about you had people who were in jail, they couldn't come out. So the Bir Halacha says that it could be if there's a minyan of people, so then they have a chashivus of a minyan to bring the Torah to them. But if not, just you know, taking a Torah, you know, the people are very lax about, you know, taking a Torah from one place to another. You know, before you ever do it, you should always ask a shaila because it's you know, the kavana of the Torah is for the people to go to the Torah, not for the Torah to follow around where you need to go. Somebody, he's a camp rabbi. He told me they're planning a trip. He knows exactly when the trip is going to be, and he asked me, they have to go early, and could they take a Torah along with them? So I wasn't so. I said it's better that when you come to the shul en route in the mountains, you'll go later in the day and you'll ask permission to go into the shul and read the Torah, even if it means to read the Torah later in the day, you know, on a Monday, Thursday, I'm talking about. But in other words, just taking a Torah is a serious matter, just to schlep a Torah along with you. So that's one, I think, area of that sometimes needs chizuk. Of course, we stand. Well, we stand for Kavod HaTorah, you know, when the Torah is moving from one place to the other. That's another halacha that we do. We stand for Kavod HaTorah. You know, a lot of times it's difficult for people to stand. You know, Simchas Torah comes up a lot, because Simchas Torah, the dancing. See, my opinion is that the idea of hakafas like we have them today is much more modern innovation. I think hakafas that used to be were just hakafas, around once, around twice, you know, 10 minutes, the whole thing. That was what hakafas were. Today, I'm not here to criticize. I guess Torah has become more chashuv in people's eyes, so they want to dance and chulei. But then the question comes up, as Shekhar pointed out, then people are sitting down and the Torah is moving. And then there's a question of, you know, lack of Kavod HaTorah. So some try to find heterim if you're in a, you know, different, like Rav David Feinstein told me once, if you're a different reshus, the Torah is on the bima and the people are in a different plateau at the Torah, so a different level, you know, so different reshus, maybe, or if people are around, but, or Rav Harfin is a savior, he has a discussion, maybe if you're just going in a circle, you're not going anywhere, you're just circling around, maybe that's not considered the Torah is moving, because the Torah is not going anyplace. It's just around and around and around. So that's another discussion, whether that's considered a het there. But it's something that, you know, needs to be asked, you know, of in every shul. What's the, you know, because a lot of times on Simchas Torah, we want to give Kavod HaTorah, Kavod LaTorah. And then sometimes that's the day that we have the least Kavod HaTorah. You know, people do things that, you know, that are not so respectful and things like that. So Cover HaTorah, you know, so something I think that today should be, as I said, a day of awareness for, you know, Cover HaTorah, and also Torah Shebaal Peh. The idea of Torah Shebaal Peh is that Cover HaChachamim, Torah Shebaal Peh is Cover HaChachamim, that we have Mesorah of what the, you know, of what the Torah means, what the, you know, and, you know, not Lafuke people. You know, people think that they could say any pshat they want in the Torah. You have to, as you know, they once asked the Chazon Ish, how come, this I heard from Rabbi Lael in the name of my late Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Chaim Yaakov Goldwach, they asked the Chazon Ish, how come the Chazon Ish never says any drush? Chazon Ish doesn't say any drush. Now, you never see drush from the Chazon Ish. So the Chazon Ish said, because drush is something that there's no accountability. In other words, if you say something in halacha, it could be against the Mishnah, it could be against the Gemara. So there's checks and balances. There's accountability. Drush, people just say whatever they want. So he says, any enterprise that anyone could say whatever they want, I want to have nothing to do with. That was the Chazon Ish's opinion. Others didn't follow that. The others, like the Chasam Sofer, was a very big darshan. And Rav Yonasan Eibshitz and others, but like Rav Aaron Kahn Shlita once said, the real drush has to be from the biggest gedolim. You know, Rav Henoch Leibowitz in the Chidush Aleiv discusses this idea of, you know, in the Hakdama to the Chidush Aleiv, about the idea of people just saying whatever they want and you know being critical of that notion, but those that do it, you have to be on the highest level. You have to be the Chasam Sofer. You know, you can say homiletics and things like that, but the real the drush. And so there were gedolim, like my friend of Simcha Kalis said to me. Some people were gedolim in halacha. They weren't gedolim in drush. That's what Simcha Kalis said. But some people, like the Chasam Sofer, was a gedolim in drush. But since his whole mahus was Torah, like Rav Kahn said, his whole mahus was Torah, we're not afraid that he's going to say something that's neged what's proper hashkafa Torah based on just he wants to say some type of drasha. So the Kavod HaTorah is respect of Torah, respect of the of what the integrity of the Torah, what the Torah means, and this is also part of this notion of Kavod HaTorah. Again, so you have the Kavod of the Sefer Torah, of standing up for the Sefer Torah and not schlepping the Sefer Torah around. Again, there are heterim, so, but again, one should always realize that they need a heter to schlep around the Sefer Torah. You know, and there could be heterim, as I said, but it's not a given that you just, wherever you need to go, if I'm on a vacation, so I'm going to schlep around the, you know, well, what's the proper way to, and I think, you know, on this Shabbos, Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas, that we have this tainus, even though, as I said, even though most of us are not fasting on today, but and the Magen Avraham, it's in, you know, it's interesting. It's a Magen Avraham here. It says Kosev Atanya Biyom Hashishi Parshas Chukas Tov Kuf Pei Nogu Yichidim Lisanus Shabbos Also on the Yom Nisufu Chavos Kronos Mleim Svarim B'Tzarfas in France V'lo Kovel Also B'Mei HaKodesh Neshe B'Tok She'elos Cholom Noda Lahem She'yom HaParsha. They had a She'elos Cholom. It was Noda Lahem She'yom HaParsha Gorim G'zeiras HaTorah Zos Chukas HaTorah Mitagminan Dog G'zeiras HaRaisa. This is the G'zeiro, or this is the either the G'zeiro of the decree, or this is the tearing of the Torah. And that's something that's very, very significant, and I think it makes sense that some point out that this idea of Ein Divrei Torah El Misha Meimi Sama Asmola. You know, they once asked Rav Eliezer Stern once said, they once asked Rav Gusman, should you stand up? We talk about pregnant ladies before. Should you stand up for a pregnant lady? Why? Because inside the Uber, the Malach is teaching him Kol HaTorah Kula. So maybe you should stand up. So Rav Gusman said, no, because that Torah is not coming from a Malach. This is just hearing the Kol HaTorah Kula from a Malach, but there was no effort. Torah that doesn't have a melus, you don't stand up for. You don't stand up for Torah. You stand up for Torah that has a melus, toil. And that's the true Kavanah Torah. The true Kavanah Torah is when somebody is learning Torah with a melus, to understand everything in a clear way, in a deep way. He's going slowly. He's not rushing through. You know, that's the true Kavanah Torah. When you're saying how significant, how important the Torah is, that I have to be amel to in b'chukosai teilechu sheitu amelim b'Torah. Amelus b'Torah. That's the true learning of Torah is the true amelus b'Torah, and that's the true Kavanah Torah. So in this week's parsha, that right after we have dog zeirus araisa, this is the zos chukas haTorah zeirus araisa. That's the remez to the occurrence in 1244 that occurred. So the tikkun is through amelus b'Torah, is to show that we have true Kavanah Torah, that we stand for the Torah, we stand for Chachamim, and we have respect for the Torah, we have respect for long day Torah, and that's the Tikkun Hadoros. And every year when we come to this parsha, we should keep that in mind. You know the Rav Itzela Petterberger. He said that, what's the idea that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed? Shlo berchu b'Torah tchila. They didn't make Birkas HaTorah. What's the big thing? They didn't make Birkas HaTorah. So he quoted the Koch Ve'or. He quotes that the Gemara says that David HaMelech, right? HaMelech, right, that's... It's my father-in-law's bar mitzvah haftorah. Right, Melch David zokim ba bayonim, vayichasu ba begodim v'lo yichamlo. So the Gemara says David HaMelech, he was old and he was cold, so he put on a warm thing on it and it wouldn't warm him up. And the Gemara says in Brachas, because since he tore the clothing of Shaul, he was mevazes habegadim, so then the begadim are not going to help him. In other words, a beggar has the ability to warm you up, but if you are mevazes something, same thing over here. Baruch b'Torah tchila, the big deal was not that they didn't make Birkas HaTorah. It's the question is, how come the Torah didn't protect them from doing other averus, where the Beis HaMikdash would destroy from the other averus? The answer is, that since they didn't have proper Kavanah Torah, they didn't say the Birkas HaTorah, so then the Torah didn't have the effect on them to protect. Just like the begadim of David HaMelech didn't protect him to keep him warm because he tore Shaul's begadim, so he was mevazes begadim, that the begadim wouldn't warm him up, so too the Torah only will affect you and protect you in a positive way from doing other things. It's only when you give proper Kavanah HaTorah. And that's saying Birkas HaTorah is one of the ways of giving proper Kavanah HaTorah. And I think we should keep that in mind. Again, in this week's parsha, the parsha of Zos Chukas HaTorah. You know, that's why the Mefarshim ask, should say Zos Chukas HaPorah, not Zos Chukas HaTorah. So the different answers given, but there's something special, like the Yad Sholem says, about the Musar of about the whole Kol HaTorah Kula, not just Parah Aduma. So is Chukas HaTorah. This was the remez that the Magen of that the Rishonim say to that occurrence in France when this happened, and this should be a chizik of. So we have this idea of Tumas HaOil, things that we discussed about a pregnant lady and the different opinions. And then we have this idea of the tainus of today and the significance and the chizuk that we should have of Kavanah Torah. And that should be something that every once in a while. So I think this is a good, people don't realize about it. You should look it up in the Magen Avraham, Tav Kuf Pei, in the end of the Magen Avraham, Tav Kuf Pei, to look up that that today it takes to take 2 minutes out to take a Shulchan Aruch off the shelf and look up the Tav Kuf Pei in the Magen Avraham, and you'll see the bringing down the bottom there, bringing down this tainus. It's Erev Shabbos Chukas, special day. That is, when else do you have a tainus that's dafka based on the Parshas HaShavua in this tainus? So Zov Chukas HaTorah, Bez Hashem, we should continue to have Kavod HaTorah to teach our children, our grandchildren, Kavod HaTorah, and Bez Hashem, the Torah should be a protection, a shmir for us and all of Klal Yisrael, for all of life.